Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, you had more points that you wanted to make.
Well, real fast, first of all, thank you to Teresa Walker, friend of the show, for texting in saying that she liked the rant. Of course, Associated Press, Teresa Walker, she knows this whole thing well. She said it better than I said it. She said, quote, they see their preseason top 25 as their guide, and in this day and age of NIL in the portal, there's no way to be able to go in and not adapt to what we actually have. So I agree, even more so now, probably, you have to be open to like, oh, man, I was way wrong on that team and wrong on this team, and I'm going to change it up. Nick Frazier comes in, and I should have pointed this out. You know, congratulations to Nick Frazier and all Mississippi State fans for the huge win over number 12 Arizona State. So number 12 Arizona State right now is the last team out of the poll, or the, you know, the first team out of the poll, 26, with 94 points. 94 votes, or yeah, it's 94 points, whatever.
Same thing.
Mississippi State has 52. How? We just saw them beat them. There's a great example. Florida getting 70 votes. How? Who are you, after what they just did, why are you voting for them still? Because you had them in your preseason poll, so what? Now, see, that's where your talent thing. Now, some people would say, well, I know they're talented. I don't care.
I know what you're saying.
At the top of the poll, yes, I get it.
You know, if you do it strictly based off achievement, that's how you end up with, like, at the end of the year, some team winning a conference champion is getting a bye in the playoff, and Ohio State is sitting there with two losses ranked below them. And we all know Ohio State's better.
Sure.
So I just think it's a very nuanced discussion, is all
yes.
I'm saying.
But South Florida, if they win at Florida and they win at Miami, on the road, man, I'm just saying, that's like, they should shoot up more than they will. They will not. They'll go, like, if they win, what are they now?
Let me tell you this.
There's 18th. They'll move up to like 11th. That's not enough.
They win that game, everybody's going to be talking about Alex Golish.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
Oh, no.
I mean, they kind of already are, but they win that one.
Well, I think there's some Gators fans who are like, can you just stay?
Yeah.
Just stay in town and be our coach? Yeah. So, anyway, good stuff.
Good stuff. On the Brian Callahan front, so we talked a lot yesterday about basically two situations from the game on Sunday in Denver. Number one being right before the half, where he made the decision to be aggressive, deep, deep, deep in his own territory, start throwing the ball, and eventually that led to a touchdown from Denver right before the half that flipped that game. And then getting up there and basically not knowing the rule on the Elikayo Manor play with the elbow being down in bounds after the game. So I expected yesterday for there to be the first part of the press conference, Brian Callahan got up there and says, hey, guys, I screwed up. I got the rule wrong. That's my bad. I'll be better moving forward. That's basically what I thought would happen yesterday. And he kind of eventually got there. Kind of. Like, you know, I didn't even really want to hear all the positive stuff he thought from the game first. Like, that probably should have been the first thing he talked about, but it wasn't. Whatever. He went through the positives and the things he liked from the game. And then this is how Brian Callahan opened yesterday, addressing the misunderstanding, or as he put it, misinterpretation of the rule.
And again, I know you guys are all here for the conversation about the play with Elik and challenging the play and what I said after the game. And look, ultimately, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. I'll own it. We should have challenged the play, and that's pretty much all I can say about it. Is I'll own the mistake. Should have challenged it, and that's where it stands.
So I'll own the mistake, should have challenged it. My interpretation of the rule was wrong. That's how he started there. And then a couple minutes later, as the press conference was continuing to go, all of a sudden the answer started to change a little bit. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say. Ian, let's just get the last one there, the one at the very end when he's responding to a question from Stillman about whether or not he knew the one elbow equals 2 feet rule at that time Sunday when the play was made. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say at that point.
So you say that you misspoke yesterday, but at that time you knew that one elbow equaled 2 feet.
Say that one more time.
So yesterday when you misspoke on the rule, you did know at that point that one elbow equals 2 feet.
At that moment?
Yes.
Yeah, I think at the end of the game, I was worried about a lot of the things that went wrong in the game, and the heat of the moment, the frustration of it after the game in the press conference, I think is, you know, again, I misspoke. I'm well aware of the rule. I understand how it works. And the way that I articulated afterwards was incorrect. And, you know, I understand the rules of this game pretty well.
So, Joe, we start with my interpretation of the rule was wrong. And by the time we swing around to that answer, it's I misspoke and I know the rules pretty darn well. It's like, okay, well, which one is it? We seem like we've changed up pretty quickly here in the span of about 3.5 minutes of your press conference. I heard that yesterday, Joe. I immediately texted you and Ian, and I was like, so did he just totally change his answer in like 3 questions at the press conference? I went back and listened to it, and like I wanted to type out the quotes just to make sure I wasn't crazy. And it turns, I'm not. Like, it's what he did. He changed his answer right in the middle of the press conference.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand. Obviously this couldn't have been the plan. So he just sort of stepped in it after he had an opening statement, he had a plan, misinterpret the rule. Whatever happened with a headset, which Kaharski is, you know, big on Rob's fault. But whatever. You know, we'll have Kaharski in tomorrow. He can tell us all about it.
It'll be interesting.
He can help, you know, the listeners dox Rob. Poor Rob. But whatever happened on that, yeah, the plan was here. I mean, own it, and that's fine. I thought it was, okay, great. Yeah, and then you get into
I misspoke.
So wait, so you knew, but you misspoke. And then, yeah, it was a good question by Stilley there, which is, okay, so just to clarify, right? It's a clarifying question. Okay, so you did know it, but you just missed one. Then get in, heat of the moment. No, I know the rules.
Did
okay,
you know it or did you not?
Yeah. It's a bad look. It piles on to the bad look of, like, this is something that's going to be attached to him.
Yeah.
So, again, said it earlier, said it again. He may end up being an all-time great NFL coach. That is still on the table for him. I mean, he's one game into his second season as an NFL head coach. And this may be one of those, oh, my God, how about this thing? This is hilarious. You know, again, I think Dan Campbell's about to come back to Earth crashing, and Applebee's is probably going to drop him.
Jeez.
But he's pretty good in those Applebee's commercials. But, like, we made so much fun of Dan Campbell for so many things, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, geez.
They look pretty good.
And I must say, by the way, just real quick, I'm so glad that, like, although they were fun, like, they went 15-2 last year, so, like, every week you had to – And let me tell you about another guy who does awesome this week. Thank God we don't have to have nearly as many of those this year from Dan Campbell. Anyway, this may be the thing that Brian Callahan, and as he enshrined, you know, be some funny footnote. Or, like, someone brought up Rich Kotite yesterday. You know, it's like, or this may be one of those things where it's like, man, this guy's smart, but boy, in some ways, as a coach, not very smart.
This could symbolize exactly what his tenure ends up being, is what this could be. Like, I don't understand how the answer shifted that quickly. Like, it's almost to the point, Joe, where, like, he should have just been annoying with it. Like, every time somebody asked him about it, he should have just said, I misinterpreted the rule, I was wrong, I own it, and now we're moving on. He should have said it 5 times, no matter how it happened.
Yeah, or just non-answer it, which coaches do all the time, and just say, it was on me. Like, that's, like, I'm sorry for this, because I really try not to do this a lot, but, like, if you had Vrabel in the same situation, and again, Vrabel was good with the rule book. No, I think knows the rules. But if it was the same situation, he and a lot of coaches would have been like, it's on me.
Yeah.
So, clarify this, that, dude. It's on me. It was my fault. So, do you know it or not? It's on me. Can we move on? That's my fault. But instead, the heat of the moment of the presser, and I mean, I know the rules of this game. No!
Yeah, he totally switched in the span of 3 minutes from, I misinterpreted the rule, I was wrong, and then, well, I just misspoke. I misspoke, and I know all the rules. It's like, well, those are two complete opposite things there, buddy. So I walked away from that yesterday and just thought to myself, oh, gosh. Like, this could have made, I mean, gone away is probably a stretch, because I don't know that it's ever going away, the fact that the NFL head coach didn't know the rule in the middle of the game. I mean, there are going to be fans that bring that up about him forever. So, okay, it's not going away.
Sure.
But you could have really done yourself a service yesterday of just quieting the noise a little bit by just ending it with, yep, I screwed it up, I owned it. And instead, you went from, I owned it, it's my fault, in the span of 3 minutes to, well, I just misspoke. And now, it's like, what? And here we are again talking about it the next day.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about it much more today, and I know some people don't, you know, or want to move on. It would be a much more of a move on day if he just stopped there. But it's like, again, then you do.
Again, and there's pulling out screaming about a new topic. Like, do you guys not think this is a big deal that your head coach doesn't know a rule? Like, you guys are so obsessed with Cam Ward and whether or not he's going to be good. And right now, this is the guy in charge of lead again. I feel like it's pretty important. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I would say so. Ed on the YouTube chat says, this is Wizenhunt 2.0. I'm using not one to panic or be rash, but not knowing the rules is criminal. Zero confidence. And Ed is an example of someone who I would say has been generally supportive slash positive.
615-737-1025, our phone number. So, how does he dig himself out? Can he dig himself out? Where do we think this is all headed with Brian Callahan? We'll get into more of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game. This conversation is going to irritate me. It just is. I don't get it.
Don't
people,
get what?
People are acting like this is just like it's like a coach, I don't know, like not using a timeout properly or something. Or as if this is some mistake that
strategic.
Happens every week. Like, oh, it's not that big. Like, coaches do this all the time. There are plenty of coaches around the league that just every week just openly admit to not knowing the rule. It's like, really? Because I don't remember that. I don't remember this being a very common thing among NFL coaches. We got one text that says, please beat this dead horse. You act like he had 10 minutes with all the angles on the play to make the call. He missed it, and you can't let it go.
No, well, that's not the point.
That's not the point. The point is he didn't know about the play. He didn't know the rule. So if he – I don't know what angle he had. But if you take him at his word after the game, even if he had a very clear angle of Iowa Manor's elbow being down, he wouldn't have challenged it because he didn't understand the rule.
Right.
And we don't think that's a big deal?
Yeah, like Sam in Portland says, well, if he would have done, you know, refused to answer the question, then local media would have been crying about that instead. He couldn't win no matter what he said. I've seen a few. So that's fine. I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to pick apart things. And if coaches are combative and stuff like that, you know, we'll have fun with it, pick it apart, get mad about it, whatever. But again, for him, that's the better move. Trust me, that's the much better move. To just say, yep, moving on, rather than, again, changing from the top of the presser, this is what I'm going to say about it, and my decision with whoever I've consulted with on this, my decision, I'm going to say, I misinterpreted the rule. So that's my statement. Then you get asked to clarify, and you're like, well, I mean, I know the rules. So, this is, okay, well, something's wrong, dishonest about it. You can't just blow this off as, like, another
thing. If you want to turn this into this being our fault and like the radio show and the media is making a big deal, you can do that if you want to. But as I said earlier in the show, I guarantee you that there are players in that locker room right now that are either wondering to themselves or maybe in some cases talking to themselves and saying, good Lord, did you see what Coach said? What's he talking about?
Right.
Like what does he what do you mean you didn't understand the rule and then you misspoke? Like this is not something that happens every week with coaches around the league who don't know the rules.
No. And that's why the NFL media are just talking about this now because it's peculiar. It's newsworthy. Oh, I mean because again it's not even like, you know, some of these rules are obscure, you know, kickoffs or what like there are obscure rules, and then there's, like, something that constantly comes into play, which is
hey, by the way, people keep telling us to move off the subject or you're changing the station. Change the station. I don't care. We're not moving off the subject. It's a big deal. You saying that as if that's going to affect me and talking. We're not moving off the subject. It's a big deal. So change the station. What do you think about that?
I'm just going to sit here quietly.
I mean, it's amazing to me that people just brush it. Oh, you know, it's whatever. It just the head coach doesn't know the rules or what he's doing out there, but he's the guy that's going to develop Cam Ward.
It does point to the bigger picture whether or not Callahan is in, like, over can he handle all the duties he needs to handle during the game, whether that's the decision-making process and strategy with the coach combined with the offensive play calling all in the same situation. Like, is he capable of handling both given this is his first time doing both? You know, you have to learn how to call plays and be a head coach at the exact same time.
Well, and you're 3-15 trying to do that.
Yeah. And again, the separate play, that's just not an answer. It's not a real. And I got people telling us, like, bring in Munchak. Brian, you call plays and Mike Munchak is back. I mean, you may have been trolling me. If so, good job. It worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, to pretend that this is just nothing or run of the mill stuff, or that if he just stood mute on it. Yeah, I mean, again, he tried to take the accountability. Like, you know, he did the positives, he tried to take the, which was fine. If that's how it ends, and again, and he doesn't say anything else after that, move on, fine. Is there a little bit of falling on a sword for Rob, Paul's favorite guy? Yeah, maybe, but again, even if Rob gave him bad advice, he should know in the moment. And even if, because it's so quick, you made a mistake at the press conference, I mean, you have to know the rule. And then, are you really trying to say that you just misspoke?
That's
the thing. You were pretty confident with, I mean, he said, play it again. Go listen to it again. You were pretty confident with, yeah, one elbow doesn't equal 2 feet. Well, it does.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, I don't understand the disconnect here. Like, this is the guy leading your team. And again, you could say it's our fault for making too big a deal if you want to. But I guarantee you the players in the locker room are talking about this. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's amazing to me that we're supposed to brush this aside as if this is not some big deal. I mean, all the NFL media is talking about it now. It's like, oh, can you believe the Titans coach didn't know the rule? Right. As if this is something that happens on a weekly basis.
Right.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Well, anybody who doesn't think this is a big deal, Brian Callahan thought it was a big deal because he started by saying, I know you guys all want to know about the Elliott thing. Yeah, he knows.
That's a good point.
And then him walking it back, dude, like, I can deal with a lot of things. A liar, I cannot deal with. I knew when they had that set ball at the 7-yard line, this coach was in way over his head. I think Ian said better than anybody that it just got too much. I don't think he has, like, one redeeming quality. If I just happen to have an Epo baby coach, I'd rather just have Belichick's crazy kid or something like that. At least you're going to get something interesting or entertaining. Like, this right here is just awful, dude. Like, I feel like Levis, I'm blaming everything on Levis now on Callahan. That, over 1 week, I'm putting all of Levis on Callahan.
Maybe too
I think
far.
He's dumber than Levis, and now I think he's going to turn Cam Ward into a dumb quarterback. We're going to end up a year from now going, is Cam dumb? Or is it just this coach? So you got to be careful, man. Like, you surround dumb people or surround regular people with dumb people, they get real dumb. So we'll see.
Thank you, Adam. I don't know that I would go that far.
Will Levis would have been an all-pro last year. Oh, boy. All right, we may have gone too far. We may have hit the border.
All right.
This should have been the Rob rant. Why wasn't this the Rob rant today?
I mean, I just don't understand, guys. I really don't. Like, I don't understand why some of you are acting like this is just an everyday thing that happens in the NFL.
We do not want Belichick's kid, by the way.
No,
we do not.
No. Like, this is
– love the mullet.
I'm not sitting here saying this is going to define Brian Callahan, but this is a big deal. It's a big problem. Like, this is not a normal thing in the NFL, this situation that we're talking about. It's just not. I don't know what to tell you.
No. Again, this is going to last a long time. Again, in what it'll be context for something. A heck of a turnaround, starting with this great game plan and play calling against the Rams, or soon after, or big part of the reason why, this guy just wasn't cut out for it.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Brad to the program. Brad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I just wanted to also point out that, you know, we're all talking about Brian Callahan didn't know the rule. He didn't challenge. He's ultimately the one on the field that has to throw that flag. But I'm more concerned about, you've got a booth and you've got a consortium of coaches up there, whether it's four or five people, well, just one of them could have said, hey, you got to throw that flag. None of his coaches threw the flag and said, hey, you've got to do that. So he doesn't even have a group that had one person up there that stood up, because that's their job.
I think there is one split. Yeah, I think there is one person with that specific job. But, yeah, I mean, that is fair for sure.
And then the last thing I wanted to say is, again, when you are a leader, you preach accountability. And he started off and he owned it, and then he let it go. And that is a huge red flag. As a leader, when you say, hey, I'm accountable, when you preach accountability and you take it, it's easier to have that leadership in the locker room. But when you skirt it, now other people are going to say, I don't know, I'm going to be out on him. So, yeah, he's going to have to win a few games to get this buried. He's in a world of hurt right now.
We'll continue to take your thoughts at 615. Thank you for the call, Brad. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, a lot of your thoughts to get to on the Callahan front. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Charles to the program. Charles, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to take a real quick shot at this. I think that this is an organizational design issue. The head coach should not be calling the plays. And this is the equivalent of, in a regular business, if the head of sales became the CEO of a company and decided to maintain his responsibility over the sales organization, which is essentially what the offensive team is. And I not only believe that he should relinquish these duties immediately, because if I think about this past weekend, had he not been calling plays, I'm 100% sure he would have gone into his headset and said to his offensive coordinator, hey, with the 40 seconds, let's just run this thing out. Instead, he put himself in the position of a play caller, and he thought like a play caller rather than a head coach. The other component of this, and I think this falls on Berganzi, the only way Callahan will be successful as a head coach going forward is as a true head coach. He's already defined himself as not being one of the Sean Paytons of the world that can manage both. So for his own good and the good of the organization, he needs to immediately turn it over to his OC, even if he's an inferior play caller. You can weigh in, right? I mean, you can offer up suggestions or call plays, but if he doesn't surrender play calling, this cannot work. It may not work anyway, but I'm 100% convinced this is an org design issue, period.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.
We got to stop with this, guys. I mean, it was a well thought out call, but it just completely, look, let's go through them just off the top here. Okay, Mike McDaniel. These are head coaches in the NFL who I know for sure are play calling head coaches: Zach Taylor, Kevin Stefanski, Liam Cohen,
LaFleur.
Is Peyton? I'm not sure if Peyton does. Peyton have a play calling OC?
No, he's the play caller. He had the giant Waffle House menu out there.
Sean Payton's not gonna leave.
Matt LaFleur, Andy Reid, I believe, does. Right, he's the play caller there. Andy Reid is, like you said, Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell, Ben Johnson.
It's a lot of the league right now.
Yeah, obviously Sean McVay, obviously Kyle Shanahan. They are why this is all over the league, and it's just what it is. This is not like you're acting like the caller is acting there like it's some outlier or something. It's not. And I'm not saying like maybe this trend, if enough situations like what's happening here happen, then maybe the trend fades. There are trends all the time in the NFL, but this is, he got this job to do that. And also, I don't agree. I don't understand the rationale of, well, if he was the head coach and not the play caller, he would have said, yeah, I'll just run this out. He is the head coach. He can't step outside of what is the next play that I call to just say, oh, gee, they have two timeouts and we're at our own three, so let's go ahead and go to the hat. Like,
if he can't,
being
do that,
a play caller does not preclude you from being a common sense having CEO at all.
Well, if he can't do that, then you got a bigger problem than him just not being able to handle both jobs at the same
time. Yeah, that's right? Just like flat out fireable.
Yeah, it's fireable. Like, if you can't handle that, well then you're not gonna survive as head coach. So look, I mean, look,
we got to stop with it. He's not giving up play calling, guys. He's
not going
to get fired, or he's going to be the play calling head coach. It's one of the two things.
I totally agree with you. No, but that, you know, Charles is not alone there. Like Willie was talking about that yesterday. Like in terms of some people can't handle both. I agree. That's probably the case. Some people can't handle both. But I think at this point,
there's not a scenario where he's going to get one of the two.
There's not that doesn't exist anymore. Like that to me was either should have been a hey. That's how you started, and you're going to be the head coach, and you're bringing in an OC when your tenure started here. Or at the end of last season, Joe, he should have made the decision to bring in somebody as a play caller. If you do it now, like if they get 3-4 more weeks down the road, and then all of a sudden he decides that he doesn't need to be one calling plays anymore, he's going to get fired. Like it's what it is. He's going to get fired at that point.
Yes. Geno says the people you're listening have been coordinators before. He was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, Geno. And also,
he didn't call plays there.
He didn't call play, but okay. How many guys did I just list? No, I did not yeah. call plays
Kevin
as
O'Connell
OCs.
Didn't and then, call plays. Yeah, you're right.
And on and on and on. This is the most popular route, and the Titans took it, and they might have just made a bad choice.
Yeah. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Daniel to the program. Daniel, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I 100% agree with what you guys are saying about, Callahan. He was hired to be the head coach and the OC. If he's giving up his duties as OC, then why is he even going to be here? He should be fired.
Right.
But I don't know if you guys heard it at halftime. Christina Pink, sideline reporter for Fox, mentioned that Callahan had trouble getting the plays to Cam Ward on time. He was getting plays in late. How are you the OC, the head coach, and you're getting play calls in late? I mean, that makes zero sense to me. You got a rookie quarterback, and you can't get the play calls in on time. I mean, that's ludicrous.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Daniel. So it's interesting he brings that up because that came up in his press conference yesterday, and I guess he basically talked about, like, the urgency in the huddle, like pretty much is what he was talking about, and it's like, okay, I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in the huddle. I don't know what the issues were getting the play calls in and why that took longer. He did say that there were probably some times – where Ward didn't have enough time to operate at the line of scrimmage there. So, I mean, obviously that's a problem. You got to get that fixed moving forward here. But I don't know the ins and outs of what the issue was there. So I can't make an educated comment on it.
But this is context for everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
So people who are like, you're beating the dead horse. Okay. But see, the context also is the end of the half, which again, like as far as just like a decision – I have a way bigger problem with that decision than not challenging. It's the explanation and the changing of the story after that that's the thing.
Yeah.
But again, the context is the play still not coming in fast enough. The context is, oh, gee, here's a receiver screen. They're all blocking for Casper.
No one's catching the ball. Yeah.
And too many plays where multiple people looked like they didn't know what was going on. The very first play of the game, Dan Moore apparently didn't know what the play was.
Yeah.
If you watch that play, it was a run play. His guy said, thank you. I'll take that TFL.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. I mean, and again, things happen. People make mistakes. Defense throws you a curveball. There's a lot of things where we don't know everything that happened to play. But sometimes it's like, clearly that guy don't have any idea what is supposed to be happening.
Right.
That's on coaching.
Yes. It is. And that's not even getting into the 13 penalties for 131 yards.
Oh, yeah, there's
that
too.
Like,
there's context.
The backdrop of all of this is right now it's bad. It's a poorly coached football team. And that's – we can talk about the talent. We can talk about the lack of expectations this year. And we agree on all that. Like, nobody thought the Titans were going to be good this year. But there's a way that this eventually needs to look for them to one day be good, right? And that's what I'm concerned about. Like, you know, it would be one thing if you're losing these close games, but you're pretty clean in your operation, you don't take a lot of penalties, and you just looked out there and said, yeah, I mean, they just got better players than we do, and they're kicking our butt. Like, that's one thing in the NFL. It's another thing to have all that and also look out there and say, well, we got almost as many penalty yards as we do offensive yards, because there's no discipline around here. We got plays going on left and right where people don't know where to go or where to be and what they're doing. Like, those are two different things. And that's – if you're trying to forecast forward here of is Brian Callahan the right guy to lead your team when hopefully you figured some of your roster out, these are not things that are helping him in that discussion.
Exactly. And so then now we're having words match actions. Again, I go back to last year. I thought he handled last year well. There is a year of, I know Stilley will text me and think, nothing good ever happened all year. But like there, and it was a terrible team, but there was a year of like the overall product, not good. The rookie coordinators, the special teams was a disaster, you know, these things. I thought he handled it fine last year. I don't remember anything where it was like, oh my God, are you kidding me that he said that? I mean, I thought he was fine. He is revealing. He's good with the media, all that stuff. But now you have all these things that even look worse after this whole idea of changing the offseason and getting the chemistry built and all that stuff. And now we have words that match this product that are alarming. Yeah. And that to me, it's the first time that we've had that, but it's pretty bad.
Let's quickly head back to our phone line. Welcome in Sean in Houston to the program. Sean, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. Man, I traveled to Denver to watch this. And I'm going to tell you like this. Callahan is not the answer. He's the problem. The offense is still looking confused as it did last year. I mean, the first and second run, putting your rookie quarterback in tough situations on third and longs. I mean, your veteran player still making the same mistake 7 years in with the late hit on the quarterback. It's just ridiculous, man. He has no control of the team. And I'm telling you right now, they need to go on and fire him, put the interim coach as Denora Wilson, have your OC be Mike McCoy. It's simple as that. Let's go. Callahan is not the answer. Wasting time keeping him there. That's just how I see it.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate the call.
Sorry for your travels, and I hope you still have fun in Denver.
I hope so. We'll have more to get to coming up next on the Titans front, 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, I don't think, based on the text line, that the offensive coordinator – / Brian Callahan should be calling plays anymore. Conversations going anywhere right now.
I get it. Like, again, I get the previous caller, the idea of it. And I also get that just because there's an NFL. Which one of those guys have failed? Let's see. We've had our guy in Denver. That was a flame out. My man, Hackett.
That didn't go well.
Obviously, Josh McDaniel it just doesn't work.
No.
Right?
Not as a head coach.
As a head coach.
Not sure McDaniel's going to work in Miami, though, either.
Yep. But yes. Even he's had, like, he's been.
He's had success.
He's okay flashed. To this yeah. point. Yeah.
Right. He has had success.
A quick end here.
Kingsbury failed.
Yeah.
So there's one that failed. So, but it's not. I mean, it is.
Nagy.
Yeah.
Reed sure. guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was it? I can't remember. I'm blanking on his first name, but Matt Nagy. Chicago, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He was a play caller. That's right. Yeah, so some are gonna, but the thing is, though, so there's a few we just came up with immediately that failed, and still it's a prevailing trend. But the bottom line is, if this is how you set it up, there isn't really has this happened?
That would be what I would ask. How many out of all of those guys, the ones that we know have failed, the ones that are still doing it at a high level as head coach, have any of those guys given up play calling? I don't know the answer. Maybe it's happened a couple of times.
Yeah, if anybody – I can't recall that being reported.
I would lean that being no. Like, I would lean – like, if you brought those guys in to be your offensive gurus and run the system, that they're probably the ones calling the plays. I don't know. Maybe it has happened a couple of times where one of them said, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do both. I need to just focus in on being the head coach. But it's not very common. That I can tell you.
Yeah, I don't know of it. This is a great we can get into it with PK tomorrow, but also with Charles on Thursday. He would definitely have the league context on that. The bottom line is, as you've said, as I've said, as we've said, as I hope we don't have to keep telling people, like that's not going to be the solution. The solution is going to be Brian Callahan turns it around, or they do well enough this year that he gets another year.
Yeah.
Or he's fired, and it's not going to be, oh, well, Nick Holtz will call the plays and Brian will just be the CEO. That's not it. These setups are really like Denard Wilson is the head coach of the defense, and now we have Bones Fossil as the head coach of special teams. It is a little bit more, I think, compartmentalized with this But that's the thing. You still have to be the CEO as a head coach. You know, it's still all under your umbrella, but ultimately, like, you are, the offense is your baby.
Yep.
And that's why you get these jobs.
Yeah, that's
and
what.
And if the offense is the worst part of your team and all these things that we've talked about are this bad, then you're just going to get fired.
That's the trend in the NFL. They're doing this so you don't constantly lose your play caller.
Exactly.
You want to find your head coach who calls the plays so he doesn't get elevated like the Lions are going on right now with Ben Johnson.
Dan Campbell is sitting there.
So this is the strategy in the NFL. This is not like some unique thing for the Titans. You hire the guy who can call the plays and run the team. This way, if they have a good season, you don't lose your play caller and you start all over.
Right. Dan Campbell might be suffering, and it's not just from Ben Johnson, but might be suffering some pain this year because he lost his play caller to another team.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it would also be another thing if there was more success that Brian Callen already had built in as a head coach to where he could lean back and say, you know what?
Exactly.
I need to give this up because I think that would be best for the team.
And I've got this guy, like, I've got yeah, whatever. LaFleur,
right.
He's ready. So put him in there.
But the fact is, he's 3-15.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you do that, you're basically signing your own death warrant.
You're admitting that, like, the entire, like, basis of your hire was faulty. So you're just fired.
Exactly.
I mean, like, so we got to get away from this whole narrative. It's kind of a time waste. We need more time to talk about what he says at press conferences.
Yeah, we do. Apparently, we need a whole lot more time.
We yell a lot the first couple days of this week.
All right. I'll try to calm down.
No. Oh, no, man. Let's ratchet it up tomorrow. We got PK coming in.
Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.